from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today I'll get a preview of Footlight's production of Nine.
I'll find out who is going to be on stage for this year's 20th anniversary Spotlight performance.
And I'll chat with actress Priscilla Lindsay, who's back in town for IRT's The Games Afoot. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Footlight Musicals is well known for producing G-rated, family-friendly fare, but their new show, Nine, is a bit of a departure from that brand. Director Tim Spradlin stopped in to tell Sharon Gamble about why he loves the show and what it's like working with lots of talented women.
So, Footlight and Nine don't necessarily go in the same sentence. Is that safe to say?
Well, you know what? Footlight Musicals of 20 years ago, when I worked there more regularly, I would have said that, definitely. But they really have started to play to a more contemporary audience. Mm-hmm. They did Rent a couple years ago.
That's right.
They did the Rocky Horror Show last year. And so they're really broadening and trying to bring in a younger crowd. So I think things are changing there, and for the good. And at the same time, you know, they're doing shows like White Christmas, and next year they're doing MAME, and shows that play to a family crowd. So, you know, there's a place for everyone.
Absolutely. And then there's usually a what do they call it? It's not like they don't call it a chamber musical, but the small musical that's often done actually on stage.
Yes, actually.
I mean, the audience is on stage.
Yeah,
is what I'm
actually
trying to
say. I'm part of that. In 2015,
oh, yeah?
My friend Graham Brinklow and I are recreating our show called The Story of My Life in January
Wonderful.
Of next year. Yeah.
Ooh, well, we'll have you back on closer
Absolutely.
To that and learn more about that. Well, that's terrific. I mean, Footlight has been around how many decades now? It's a lot.
They are the oldest community theater in Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah.
All volunteer, which is fantastic.
Yeah. So you've worked a lot of places. What do you like about working with the Footlight?
It's my home. It's my original home. It's the first theater that I did a community theater event in Indianapolis, where I grew up here. But I went out to Vegas and spent some time. And
really?
Yeah.
Because of theater or because of something else?
Well, my sister lived there, and I was young and naive, and I tried out for a show and did a stint there in Vegas, but wasn't smart enough to know that you keep auditioning. And so I came back home.
Aw.
But, you know, it all worked out fine. But my first show was nearing 30 years ago.
You were a child actor.
I was absolutely a child.
What was the first show?
It was Guys and Dolls.
Oh,
and
God, I love that
You know what's
show.
Lovely about that is I still have close friends from that first experience, and it changed my life. It really, really did. And I always think fondly of Footlight. It was where I cut my teeth in every direction, as an actor, as a singer, as a director. I did a lot of work on myself in that space, and so it's always a joy to go back.
And there's something about a theater where nobody's getting paid that creates a special kind of bond. And it doesn't mean there are no divas or no tempers or no attitudes, but somehow tends to be an atmosphere of, oh, that's not my job, but I'll do it. Or,
absolutely.
Well, what do you need a sofa? Will the one in my living room work?
You know? You're exactly right. And I think that's what has kept Footlight afloat for this long period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and what I'm seeing there is there are teams breaking out. You know, this director has this team around them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's wonderful. And I see those teams getting bigger and bigger and involving more people, which that's how you keep your theater running.
Right. Right. So tell us about Nine. Tell us about the show.
Well, Nine is there are two answers about Nine.
Okay.
Answer one is Nine is based upon the Federico Fellini film Eight and a Half. That's the easy answer. However, it's also there are elements of a few of his films because so many of his films are autobiographical, like Dolce Vita and La Strada and, of course, Casanova. So there's that. That's the short answer.
Mm-hmm.
The long answer, and this is why I told my cast on our first day of rehearsals. I said, although there are Felliniisms all over this place, this really is a show that is a fictional story about Guido Contini, who is an Italian film director and writer and actor. And he's approaching a milestone in his life. He's about to turn 40 years old. And that really, really is weighing heavily on him because he is in every way a man-child.
Peter Pan.
Yes. And at the same time, everything in his life is mounting and coming to a pivotal point. His wife has told him that if he doesn't start being a better husband, she's going to leave him. His mistress has told him that she would like to leave her husband and she would like to see the two of them married. His eccentric producer, who has given him a lot of money to produce their next film, is saying that this needs to get done. All of this is coming at the same time.
No pressure or anything.
No pressure at all. And, you know, it's like I told Andy Morales, who's playing Guido. I said, you know, they tell you in therapy that it takes a breakdown to create a breakthrough. And there's a point in which the breakdown takes place, and it's what happens next that's the moral of the story, I guess.
Does that breakdown in this show happen during the show, or has it happened before the show even gets going?
It happens in the show.
Yeah. How do you prepare an actor for that?
Well, for a show that could be thought of as heavy, it's also very light. And I don't want people to think that they're going to spend 2 hours.
Oh, drama.
Of big major
Not
drama.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course, no. And there are moments of that as well. But I find that you have to keep the atmosphere in the rehearsal room light and have a good time. But be direct and talk about what the issues that character's going through and what the outcomes could be. And let the actor do some choosing about what that could be.
Hmm. Who are the nine in the title?
Who are the nine people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, really, nine, it doesn't represent nine people. It represents the age. Guido's ninth year was a pivotal point in his life. It's where he learned about love and sexuality and it's who he reflects back to as a man. In fact, there's a child in the show that displays that ninth year. And so it's the struggle between the man and the child and approaching his 40th birthday,
mm-hmm.
And trying to break away from that time in his life.
And 39 is bringing back the echoes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there are some choice roles for everybody, but especially for women.
Absolutely. There is one man and 21 women. And I have to tell you, my friends, especially at work, have teased me about what were you thinking? You know what I love?
It's a lot of estrogen in one place.
I love working with women. And I have an extraordinary group. And the vocal sound alone that they create under the direction of John Phillips is extraordinary. They are so brilliant. But also, I can't wait to get to the theater every night and work with them. They are just a wonderful group of women. They're, as I stated earlier, there's Holly Hathaway, who plays Guido's wife. There's Teresa Calazar, who plays the movie star that he's trying to lure into his film. There's Stacia Holland, who plays the mistress. And there is Vicky Cornelius Phipps, who plays the eccentric producer, whom I have come to adore this woman. We've had a good time working together. The whole cast and I is just, it's just a great group. I couldn't be happier.
So what is the music like for people who might not be familiar?
Well, it's, you know, there is an ethnic flair. The most popular tune is, of course, Be Italian, mm-hmm. Which most folks have heard. But, you know, there is such an extreme. There is, you know, especially for the women, there are classical type tunes for the more trained voice, and there's a lot of belting that goes on in this show. So, you know, it covers every type of voice. And, you know, one thing that thrills me, and, you know, as a singer myself who usually does more on the pop side, mm-hmm. Andy Morales is an opera trained singer.
Really?
And oh. I think it's great to have that kind of voice on the stage again, because so many musicals that are written these days are more contemporary, and they play to the man that can hit the highest note possible,
right.
Scream
right.
It anyway.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, but I think it's really, it's exciting for me to see us go another direction and let someone with that kind of training really get up there and sing and do what he does.
So this will be done with a small pit band / orchestra, right? Just 4 or 5 pieces?
No, it's a full orchestra.
This is full orchestra.
Deb Farmer is directing a full orchestra.
Okay, good. And how soon do you get the orchestra? At what point in rehearsals?
We actually see them a week and a half before we open. Now, they will be rehearsing, but we do what's called Sitz Probe a week and a half before we open. Then we have them the full week of Tech Week.
That's great.
Yeah.
Not that there aren't, of course, all female dance troupes or anything, but there is a little bit of a challenge choreographing one man and a whole bunch of women.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's there certainly is not a lot of couple dancing, although he makes his way around. No, really, this is not a big dance show, although we are so lucky to have Deb Isaac choreographing for us. She, I don't know if you know her, she actually is a judge on the popular television show Dance Moms. So she's seen a lot on that show. But, you know, the big dance number, of course, is Be Italian. And there's lots of what I would call movement in this show, which has been a great challenge for me because, you know, it's easy for me to direct scenes, but when you have to put the element of music behind that and make sense out of a song and have the actor give your vision, that can be complicated. But it's been a great, great challenge, and I've enjoyed it.
And you really have to find a shared vocabulary with your choreographer.
You are exactly right.
Big time, yeah. Hey, have you kept the, I believe the setting is 1960s?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
We're doing that.
Fun costumes.
We're doing a mod look. Which has been a blast.
Oh,
and we have
fun.
Beautiful women, let me just say, that make that look come to life. It's going to be fantastic.
So who are some of the, when you tell people, as I'm sure you did early on, go home and go to Google Images and plug in this name, who are some of the people you've referenced to say this is the sort of look we're going after?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Twiggy, of course.
Twiggy, yeah. That was at the top of my mind, Twiggy.
And, you know, it spans a little bit because the mod period took you know, the 60s by storm there in the middle to the late. And it depends on, you know, what area you want to go to. It's all the way from That Girl to, like I said, Twiggy and Austin Powers, of course, is a great reference for that look.
A little bit of Mad Men, maybe?
Oh, you know, that was the birth child, actually, of the look of this show. You're a good point. I just recently became a fan of that show. About a year ago, I started watching Mad Men just as I was researching Nine. So you're exactly right. That was actually the seed, but then you start looking at pictures and so on and so forth, and it all comes together.
Very stylish era.
Yeah.
Kind of. Out there in some ways.
Yeah. You know, years ago I directed Sweet Charity and we touched on that period, but we are really taking it to the highest level in the show.
Sharon Gamble with Tim Spradlin, director of Nine, on stage now at Footlight Musicals. Performances continue through May 18th, and you can get tickets and learn more at footlight.org. That's footlite.org.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. For the 20th year, the Indianapolis Performing Arts community is coming together on one night to raise money for the Indiana AIDS Fund with a gala performance called Spotlight. Travis DiNicola spoke with organizer David Hochoy and singer Doug Dilling to find out more.
David, Doug, welcome to Art of the Matter. Always great to see you too.
Thank you, Travis, for having us.
So, David, we will jump in with you in just a minute and talk all about Spotlight this year, which you're the artistic director of and organizer of and one of the founders of. But, Doug, it's awfully nice to have you here. I know you're a talent this year in Spotlight.
I'm told I'm talented enough to be in the show.
So you are talented.
Really honored to be there. It's, you know, having been around the show since its inception, it's fun to finally get on that side of the curtain for a minute.
Absolutely. So we'll talk a little bit more about what you're going to be doing, Doug. But David, give me some of the background on Spotlight. 20 years is your
right.
20th anniversary?
Well, first of all, I'd like to tell you that I'm the co-artistic director with Rob McPherson.
Mm-hmm.
We started this benefit 20 years ago in 1994. And because we really, really wanted to raise money to help stop the spread of AIDS and to help people with HIV and AIDS have a better life. So that's what happened, and it's been going ever since.
And part of the reason you do it on a Monday night is that's a night that most theaters and music venues and other performance groups are usually dark, so they can...
Correct, Travis. The whole idea of it mm-hmm. is that it's the one night of the year that the Indianapolis performing arts community gets together. And, you know, we're always accused of being so self-serving.
No.
Yes, because we have to work so hard on our own artistic product. But this is our chance to give back to the community. And so Monday night is the really good, the only night that all the theaters are dark.
Right.
So that's everybody. And, you know, that's what's great about it is that everybody volunteers their time.
Mm-hmm.
All of the stagehands, all of the talent, all of the backstage people, everybody donates all of their time to this wonderful, wonderful event. And it's
That's
a great
cool.
showcase of what's available and what's happening in Indianapolis.
Well, it really is. I mean, for audiences, it's a great opportunity to maybe find about some other performance groups that you hadn't seen before. Maybe you're a big fan of Dance Kaleidoscope, but never heard of Q Artistry.
And correct.
You get to see them. But it's also fun for the performers, too, because a lot of them, if they're working all the time, they don't always get to see other people in town perform.
Yes. It's for us, it's really, really a beautiful experience. It's, sometimes it's the one time of the year that I get to see good friends mm-hmm. in the theater. And I'm like, how are you? You know, and we have, and I have to tell you that on the night of the show, the theater is so full of love. There's so much love backstage, on stage, and from the audience. And it's really, really fantastic.
That's very cool. And you've got mm-hmm. such a great lineup this year.
Yes.
So, singers and dance and theater and more singers and dance.
It's very different this year
because
for many, many years, people have been saying to me, you know, that they want something slightly different. They don't want to mm-hmm. see the same old, same old. So.
Sure.
What I've decided to do was to split all of the regular performance groups, because we have these regulars that have performed so many, many years in a row.
Of course.
In two, and that gives us a chance to bring in some new people. Because if we really accommodated everybody that wanted to be in the show, it would be like 4 hours long.
Easily.
Yeah. So we have some new groups this year. Mm-hmm. We have Q Artistry, you mentioned before. Modus Dance, which is a wonderful dance group that's from Fountain Square. They're performing this year. The Fourth Wall, which has performed 2 years in a row, but they're young people and they're wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
No Exit Performance is performing this year for the first time also. The Indianapolis School of Ballet is performing for the first time this year. So it's really a wonderful chance. And of course, my friend Doug Dilling is going to be performing for the first time this year also.
Doug, tell me about what you're doing this year.
Well, David seems to think I can sing. So I'm going to sing a number from Les Mis called Bring Him Home. And I noticed that it's placed conveniently right before they ask people for money. So hopefully the ballad works to bring it home.
Emotions. Yeah, yes.
It's going to be a fun event. And, you know, I think the event does speak well for the Indianapolis arts community and allows a patron to see so much of what the city has to offer.
And Doug, now you've been involved with this before, though, with the event? Or is this
the second year, I think David is right. I co-produced it with Ramona Baker, who at that time was the director of the Arts Council of Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We co-produced it and put it on. And I think that year we were glad that we raised $75,000 2019 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was great for us.
Is upwards of $400,000. So
yeah, is that the goal this year, David?
I think the goal is $450,000 this
wow,
year.
Wow, that'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so buy your tickets, people.
Yeah, absolutely. and of course, you can get your tickets at spotlightindy.org, where you can get more information about the whole schedule. But it's a great mix, too. I mean, you've got, Brenda Williams, Gregory Hancock Dance Company. Tasha Jones is going to be performing the Indianapolis Men's Chorus. You mentioned some of the other the newer companies like No Exit and Q Artistry and Modus Dance, which I'm a big fan of.
Uh-huh. And one thing I'm excited about is that Kenyette Dance Company and
yes.
Nicholas Owens are collaborating, and they're doing a Ray Charles number, which is going to be really, really wonderful. I'm also really excited that the opening number from Hair, Aquarius, mm-hmm. is going to be performed. And I love Hair, and I love Aquarius, and I think it's going to be very, very exciting. Nobody's going to take their clothes off, though.
You sure?
Well, I don't know.
So and Bob Drex is doing Aquarius with
Bob
Harbin. Bob
Harbin's production of Hair is going to be doing. And we have David Murray from the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra. He always comes every year and performs solo on his beautiful bass.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a very, very talented young actor called John Goodson, who is going to be doing a very moving monologue from a play by Shadowbox by Michael Christopher. So it's going to be a very, very wonderful lineup. And then to top everything off, we have our resident lady of the night, Asia LaBouche. She always brings the house down, and she's going to close the show.
And she's from the Ladies of Legends at Talbot Street.
Correct.
Yes.
She is a drag queen.
It wouldn't be Spotlight.
And a wonderful
the levity and the energy that she brings.
Yeah.
So David, I'm looking at the schedule here, and your timeline. I mean, you're starting like right at 8, and you think the show's gonna be done about 9:30? That's 17x. That's a lot to pack in.
Yes, we have gotten it down pat now. That we limit people to 5 minutes per segment. We have 15 segments at 5 minutes each. And if they go over, they get very severely penalized. The hook comes out.
The big hook actually does come out.
No, I am very, very strict about that. I'm like, you cannot go over your 5 minutes. And I always tell people this who are sitting in the audience, if you don't like anything on stage, just wait.
Exactly.
And in 5 minutes, something else is going to come on. I have a very good friend called David Dreyfuss who comes down and he stage manages the entire show brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls everything together, and it takes a great deal of doing people scurrying backstage to get all of that stuff happening, you know. So it goes like clockwork.
When do you have the tech and dress rehearsal? Is that the day
it's
of?
It's on the day of, yes.
So it's like boom, boom.
Yes. We get in there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we start working. And so at the end of the day, we're pretty exhausted. but it's, you know, it's a labor of love, and we love doing it, so...
You must be so delighted how this has grown over the years. I mean, it's unfortunate that we even have to still have a spotlight.
Yes.
But the way that this has grown is just tremendous.
I think it's really, really terrific. I think, first of all, the Indianapolis performing arts community really responded very, very well to my appeal when we first asked artistic directors to be performers, to be participants in the event. But as the years have gone on, more and more people have wanted to be a part of it. And every year I get people saying to me, you know, can I please be in Spotlight? Can I please be in Spotlight? Because they want to contribute in a certain way. So that's why we've changed the format a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, I want to tell you
that
one of the great things about Spotlight is there's a pre-show VIP reception that's very, very popular. Everybody loves to come to it.
Of course.
And it's very difficult to get people into the theater. you have to practically get Australian sheepdogs and round them up. So what we've decided,
or the hook that you're using,
or a hook, or a net. Yeah. So we've decided to make the reception longer, and the show is now only going to be 90 minutes without an intermission.
Very fun.
And it's Monday night, and so everybody says, you know, they don't want to stay up late. So by 9th, I guarantee you, by 9:30, you will be out of the theater.
Now, people can still get tickets for the VIP reception?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And Absolutely. When does that start, and what does that include? I mean, that's also like...
The VIP reception starts at 5:30, and what's wonderful this year is that it's being held in the lobby of the Schrott Theater, which is immediately adjacent
to
Clues Hall. So it's the all the VIPs will have their own little reception area for themselves, and there'll be food and drink and lots of guest people making an appearance.
Nice.
I'm not going to give it away.
Okay, some surprise appearances. Doug, let me ask you, why is it important to you to participate in Spotlight?
Well, you know, Travis, I think it's interesting when you talk to young people today, they didn't live the years that we lived. They didn't live the 80s and 90s when HIV and AIDS was ravaging our community. And I think, you know, those of us that lived it understand the importance of it. And it's still with us today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, celebrating how far we've come is important. And it's remarkable to me that the arts community still comes together and doesn't charge a dime for their own efforts. This is all donated. The hall is donated. The people who go there are donated. I think that still says that the Indianapolis art community does really care. And to be able to raise this kind of funds to help support HIV and AIDS and the Indianapolis Health Foundation, I think it's just a great statement. And it's an honor to be involved in something like this. And I think the community recognizes it and comes forward.
I want to tell you, Travis, that all of the funds go to the Indiana AIDS Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the main fund giving people in the state of Indiana. They get fund requests, grant requests from all over the state. So the money that we raise here in Indianapolis goes to help, you know, little...
throughout the whole state.
Exactly.
Not just Indianapolis. Very good. Very good.
Yes.
Well, excellent. Well, gentlemen, I wish you the best on this. And, Doug, make sure you keep it under 5 minutes.
Otherwise, he gets the hook.
Exactly. Yeah, I could also, if I could, I need to mention that the person accompanying me is going to be David Meek.
Oh, very
who
good.
Who is a very well-known piano player.
Yeah, great piano.
And
a
very well-respected artist here in town. So it's going to be fun making music with him and other friends.
Excellent. And, David, good luck, of course.
Thank you, Travis. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely.
Travis DiNicola with Spotlight, organizer David Hochoy, and singer Doug Dilling. 17 arts organizations will come together on Monday, May 19th, this year, at Clues Memorial Hall at Butler University. You can get tickets and more information at spotlightindy.org, spotlightindy.org. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
I know your mother usually listens to our program, so Pam DiNicola.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, and cover your ears for today's calendar that we call
What'll We Do?
Now, nobody tell Pam, but this year's calendars are chock full of ideas for gifts for your mama.
You know, speaking of, I'm going to start with World Fair Trade Day is this Saturday, May 10th, and Global Gifts, with their locations all around town, including Mass Ave, is celebrating it by having a special sale, and they're doing music and fair trade scavenger hunt and fair trade refreshments as well as a big sale. And what a great idea. If you haven't bought something for your mother yet, then go on down to Global Gifts on Saturday, support them, and get a cool gift for mom.
Oh, and just about everything there is gorgeous and fun, as well as fair trade. Hey, for the Broad Ripple Art Fair, we're going to have a special edition of The Art of the Matter, but I was chatting with one of the staff members at the art fair today, and we talked about the fact that it had been several years since they moved the Broad Ripple Art Fair off Mother's Day weekend and a week later. But that doesn't mean you can't still shop for your mom or take your mom to the Broad Ripple Art Fair when you give her a card this Sunday. Put an IOU in there or a gift certificate and let her choose her own artwork at the Broad Ripple Art Fair. Or maybe you want to get her a class, maybe a pop-up class in something she's always wanted to learn. So Broad Ripple Art Fair coming up next weekend, but think about taking your mom to it as a special treat.
There you go. What a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, another special treat is checking out the James Spencer Russell exhibit at the Indiana State Museum. Really interesting pop artist who was from Indiana and sort of fell off the art world map, but continued to produce some really amazing work, especially a lot of work tied to literature and some James Joyce's work, which is very cool. They're doing a gallery talk on May 21st from 6:30 to 8 p.m. It is limited. It is free, though. Now, you have to pay regular museum admission, unless you're a member, to go check out the James Spencer Russell exhibit. But stay for the gallery talk, 6:30 to 8 p.m. on May 21st. Definitely worth checking out if you've not had an opportunity to do so.
Love it. Hey, if you're hearing our show on Thursday night, call up your mom and see what she's doing on Friday night. And if she doesn't have plans, take her to the Broad Ripple Gallery Tour. It's the Spring Gallery Tour. It's this Friday from 5 to 9. And all kinds of Broad Ripple galleries, boutiques, and shops are open, just the way downtown shops are open on First Friday gallery nights.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of snacks and wine and restaurants are open and lots of opportunities to shop local for Mother's Day and for, in fact, graduations and upcoming weddings and, well, you get the idea. The Broad Ripple Gallery Tour this Friday, May 9th from 5 to 9. If you're hearing us Saturday morning, I hope you had a good time there last night.
Very good. Hey, another idea is take your mom out for dinner and a show at the Jazz Kitchen because their deck is now open and they're doing some outdoor shows out at the Jazz Kitchen in Broad Ripple. And they have some great food, of course, but you can check out some concerts coming up on Wednesday nights, starting at 6:30 next week on the 14th. Tonos Triad, which is just a really fun band. The drum set is, well, pretty much a suitcase, but that's okay. It works pretty well, and they've got a great sound to them. Later on in the month, on the 21st, Scott Ballantyne and Andra Faye. A lot of good concerts coming up on Wednesdays at the Jazz Kitchen outside on their deck.
Fabulous. Hey, if your mom likes musicals, man, you have a lot of choices. You could go see and hear Nine, which you just heard mm-hmm. about earlier on today's show. Or if you can still score a ticket, you want to act fast, Les Mis up at Booth Tarkington Civic Theater running through this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And also Spun, the second production of the musical created by folks affiliated with Bloomington Playwrights Project. Those performances are on stage at the Phoenix Theater through this Sunday. It's about a brother. Actually, it would be a good choice for Mother's Day because it's about a brother and a sister who are somewhat estranged and how they kind of find their way back to their family. So lots of choices for mom or for yourself.
Or for yourself.
That's
I might
right.
throw one more in. Mary Poppins. It actually doesn't open until next week on the 15th, but she's going to be flying in to Beef and Board's Dinner Theater with the musical of Mary Poppins, which is just a delightful musical based on the movie. And that will be running from May 15th through June 29th out at Beef and Board's Dinner Theater.
Love it. Hey, if your mama likes history, and who doesn't? But in particular, if your mom likes the high style of the 1930s, here's something to think about taking her to. It doesn't happen until next Saturday night, the 17th. What is it?
It's
a screening by Eric Grayson of Home Movies and Newsreels from the 33-34 Chicago World's Fair.
Huh.
Now, this is part of the Vintage Movie Night series down at Garfield Park. You might say, wait, Home Movies in 1933 or 34?
Wait, Home Movies from the 30s?
I know. Well, Home Movies had become popular by the mid-30s, and so it was possible to take your own movies or hire a cinematographer to document a corporate outing, which a lot of people did because, you know, it's a new art form the way when everybody
sure.
gets their first smartphone, they take way too many pictures.
What?
What? I'm not talking to you, Travis
okay,
DeNicola. Included in the screening will be the Sinclair Dinosaur exhibit and footage of Sally Rand, notorious for her fan dance. So lots of great stuff. Check that out at gpacarts.org, gpacarts.org. And again, that's next Saturday night.
Very cool. This Saturday night, May 10th, the Indiana Youth Group Art Auction is coming up again. It's presented by Fifth Third. The VIP reception starts at 7. The general admission from 8 to 10. It's at Indiana Landmark Center. And they will have silent and live auctions and yummy hors d'oeuvres, a cash bar, electronic bidding. There you go. All sorts of cool stuff, all to support Indiana Youth Group. Great youth support organization. And they have lots of cool art that's going to be on display at this show. Saturday night should be a lot of fun.
Indeed. Hey, this Saturday, special events celebrating Irvington are set at venues throughout the community. From 10 to 4, there'll be local musicians, an alternative gift fair, sidewalk sales, special menus, Irvington authors, local artists, exhibits from the not-for-profit community organizations based in Irvington, and as they say, much, much more. Also, remember, Butler University was in Irvington for more than 50 years, so you'll learn more about Butler's history. So if you're a Bulldog fan, you want to pop on out to Irvington and learn more this Saturday.
Hey, I know the tangerine just happened, but it's not too soon to start thinking about Orange for 2014, which is taking place Saturday, September 13th, because if you're an artist and want to be a part of Orange, you need to get your information in soon. You can go to orangeindy.com, and again, that's spelled O-R-A-N-J-E-I-N-D-Y, orangeindy.com. They're accepting submissions through their website only through May 31st, so if you're an artist and want to participate in Orange, check out their website so you can be a part of Orange this year.
You and your mom can be among the first to check out the new home of the new Hoosier Salon Gallery at 22 North Lane, Range Line Road in Carmel. It's opening its new space with a show called Impressions of Indiana, but with paintings by Marilyn Witt, Jeff Klinker, and Chris Newland. And there's an opening reception this Saturday night from 5 to 10, and the show is there through June 7th. So buy something pretty for yourself if you're a mom, even if you're only the mom of four-legged critters.
There you go. Hey, last thing I got, Sharon, just a heads up. Romeo and Juliet is going to be performed by First Folio Production and the Wayne Township Community Theater out at the Wayne Township Education Center in the Ben Davis High School Theater. And this is going to open on May 30th and will run through June 8th. Romeo and Juliet.
Love it. Well, there is so much more going on, but that's all the time we have to tell you about things you can do with, for, and about your mom on our calendar we call
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Theater lovers who've lived in Indy for a few years will no doubt recognize the voice of Sharon Gamble's next guest. Though Priscilla Lindsay departed the IRT 4 years ago for her next chapter as chair of the Theater and Drama Department at the University of Michigan, she has a plum role in the IRT's current production, Ken Ludwig's The Games Afoot. She came by to talk with Sharon about making a new artistic home in Ann Arbor, her three-decade legacy at the IRT, and what it's like teaching today's theater students.
Miss Priscilla, it's been 4 years since you started the new chapter of your the next act. Let me put it in theatrical terms. I've got the wrong system of reference there. So so tell us about making this decision after a few years at the IRT. To go to Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly wasn't planned. It was just an opportunity that came along. And you know, I'd been to Michigan as a guest director and mm-hmm. had a wonderful time. I loved the faculty. Eric Fredrickson, who had been chair of the department a few years ago, had come down to act with me here at IRT and was a good friend of Janet Allen's. And he's the one who kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, you need to put your hat in the ring for this. So that's what I did. And it's just turned out so beautifully. It's just been the next sort of level for me. It's made me change my game up and learn all kinds of administrative skills. The challenges of working on a university, the size of Michigan's campus.
Sure.
The fact that it's a huge research facility. The wonderful diversity of the campus and the faculty, that's been such a joy, just getting to know all the different people and my colleagues, whom I adore, and the students as well.
Now, you had taught certainly and mentored through your whole career.
Indeed. I had run the Summer Conservatory for Youth, with, you know, which spans, what, about six-year-olds through the end of high school. Yeah. I'd done that for about 12 years. That was great fun. I actually started teaching adult acting classes way back in the Athenaeum when the IRT was there.
That was in the
late 70s, early 80s. That was great fun. And then we moved to where we are now. And I continued to teach when we don't offer adult classes anymore, I'm pretty sure, but certainly a lot for the kids. And so, yeah. And then being a member of the senior staff at IRT taught me a lot as well.
Right, yeah, including a lot of those administrative skills that I'm sure translated quite well to the university environment. It strikes me that something else you have communities so rich with well-educated people, whatever their fields, is lots of potential theater patrons.
Oh, yes. Ann Arbor is a great town for supporting the arts. So they do like to come to our theater. We have three venues. We have the Arthur Miller Theater, which is about a 250-seat house. Really lovely. The only theater in the world named for him, because he went to school there.
Ah.
And also the Lydia Mendelssohn, which is a lovely old theater that I, in fact, acted in when I went to school there in the dark ages. And the Power Center, which is like a giant 1,300-seat house that Joe Melziner designed the theater space in. So lots and lots of space. So wonderful, wonderful. The arts across the campus are vast and very diverse. And we try to take advantage of as many things as we can.
Is there anything that surprises you about the students that come into your program? Are they more experienced maybe than they were a decade or two ago, or less experienced, less trained in the – less exposed to the classics maybe? Or
I think less exposed to the classics is probably true. I think more of the auditioners, the potential students who come to audition for our program, have experience in musical theater these days because of the popularity of Glee
forth.
And Darren Criss, who's on Glee, is an alum, so that's a big pull. Now, our department is not musical theater. That's a separate department. But even so, it seems in high schools they do many more musicals than they do straight plays, straight being, you know, just plays without music.
Right.
So we find that our training needs to address the fact that, you know, even though these students coming in can sing and dance, probably what they really need is theater training.
Right, right. Which is, it really is a whole other discipline.
Definitely, definitely.
One hopes that the singing and dancing has certainly exposed them to good direction, at least.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. And to, you know, all kinds of important skills, physical skills and dexterity and so forth. That's all great. But, you know, they still need to learn the basics of acting, and they need to learn. We also teach them stage combat, lots of voice and diction, and theater history, the good old things.
Yeah. Do a lot of your students, do they want to be on stage, or do they want to go directly to something digital like film or television?
That's a very good question. We actually have to train them for stage, film, TV, and web, whatever's out there
in this day and age,
that there are a lot of different things. Yeah, we have to train them across the boards, fill their toolkit with enough skills that they can go into whatever area they want to. Whereas musical theater students pretty much go right to New York and get in an ensemble or a chorus, and they're on, you know, they want to be on Broadway. But our kids from the theater department go New York, L.A., Chicago. Film, TV, stage, they're in all kinds of stuff.
So you've certainly been directing a lot since you've been up in Michigan.
I have.
When's the last time you were on stage?
Well, I was on stage 4 years ago back here at IRT. So it's been quite a while. It's been long enough, let me tell you. This was just a very opportune invitation by Janet Allen to come back. And I'm so excited. We just had yesterday, which was Sunday. I can say that, right? Even though whatever
sure.
date this is, that's going to be aired. But we had our first real run through, not a stumble through, but an honest to goodness run through of the show. And everybody who showed up to watch it laughed and said it. You know, we're just thrilled. We're so excited.
So tell us about your character.
Great. This is The Games Afoot by Ken Ludwig. So right off, if you know anything about Ken Ludwig, you know that he writes funny stuff. He's a funny guy.
If you look up Farce, I think his picture is
there. I think so, too. I think so, too. This is basically the story of William Gillette, who created the onstage presence for Sherlock Holmes, was good friends with Arthur Conan Doyle. And all through the beginning of the 20th century, played Sherlock Holmes on stage to great acclaim, especially in America. And so anyway, this play is a murder mystery based on his persona, his mother. I play his mother, Martha Gillette, and it takes place at the castle in Connecticut that he actually built. It's still there. You can take tours in this gorgeous place up in Connecticut. So it takes place in his palatial home with his friends from theater. We're all in theater, although Martha Gillette, my character, has probably the least theater background. She was in a couple of things, supposedly when she was younger, but she was not a big, she was probably more of a ham than anything else. But it's just the best whodunit. There are lots of red herrings. It's very funny. It's very theatrical. Russell Matheny has designed the set, which is gorgeous. Annie Wrightson is doing the lights. She's amazing. Tracy Dorman's doing the sets. I can't wait to try on my costumes again this week. They're gorgeous, gorgeous. Late 1920s, early 30s. Peter Amster's directing. He's a fabulous friend and a marvelous director. And he's directed a number of Sherlock Holmes at IRT in the past. Mm. For some reason, he gets assigned those. And this is just a great – I don't want to tell you too much.
Sure.
It's a complicated plot, as you may imagine, as most murder mysteries are. And it sends you down a number of paths. And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh. Well, you're not going to tell us whodunit?
Of course not. No spoilers on this show.
Good girl. So, as an actor, is there something about a particular venue that served as your home for so many years that just feels the same when you walk back in? You walk into a dressing room and you're like, oh, it all comes back to you? Or is it, okay, I'm here, but I'm new. This role is new. Everything has changed.
It's probably a combination of both of those things, Sharon. I can't tell you how at home I feel back there. Just being in the rehearsal room and walking down the halls, a lot of the same faces, not all.
Sure.
But so many people whom I love and adore. It's just a great feeling of support. But IRT has always been a wonderful artistic home for out-of-town artists and actors and designers and everybody. And that still is there in force. Now I'm the recipient of it in a way that I never was before, because I was always one of the ones kind of being there with some Hoosier hospitality, and now it's all coming my way. And that is just such a blessing. It's just wonderful. The good part is that it's a new play, that it's a fun play. This is not heavy-handed, and it's not serious. It's not O'Neill or Miller or anything like that. It's such great fun.
It's a treat as a way to end the season with something fun.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah. You have a great flexibility and a gravitas that has allowed you to play younger and older, but especially way older than you actually were for many, many years. Are there roles that you feel like, gosh, I'm almost old enough to play this, or roles that you've always wanted to do that you're like, oh, they're almost in reach?
What a good question. I'd have to think about that. I've always made it my sort of motto not to think ahead about a role, not to get my heart set on anything. Partly because, you be careful what you wish for, because if you get it, actors often find the part that they're dying to do isn't the one that opens them up or takes them to the next level. And I'd rather not be disappointed that way. I'd rather be pleasantly surprised. So I'm always happy when a role comes my way. I think someday it would be, it would be really fun to do would be, and I know this is just ridiculous, Arsenic and Old Lace. Peter Amster and I were talking about that the other day, because there are elements of Martha Gillette that are a little like those two older sisters in Arsenic and Old Lace. I think that'd be a hoot.
A little baddie, maybe?
Yes, a bit. I would say dotty is a good
dotty.
Word.
Little dotty. Oh, what a great British term. Love that. Love that. But, you know.
In terms of great roles, I'd have to think about that.
Madwoman of Shio.
Oh, yes. I'd love to do that.
You're way too young to do it yet. But.
Oh, boy. I would love that. You're right. That would be absolutely terrific. I'd like to do Ernest someday. I'd like to do.
Sure.
Her. Yeah. We'd have to think. I put my thinking cap on about that. But I'm certainly having fun with this one, and I'm loving directing at Michigan. So,
so you just said that in the same sentence, which brings me to a question. Is it hard as someone with a lot of directing experience and a lot of pedagogical experience to, as you kind of said, be on the receiving end? Do you ever have to silence your inner director or your inner teacher and just say, wait, that's not my role here. I need to just accept direction.
Yes, that has happened a couple times. especially with someone like me who has opinions about things, I do have to be careful so that and the camaraderie that exists in this particular company allows us to all kind of be open and have lots of fun. But that doesn't mean we can cross the line.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stay actors. And frankly, that's really what I'd rather do right now. It's so much fun to just wear the actor hat.
Sharon Gamble with Priscilla Lindsay. See her in Ken Ludwig's The Games Afoot at the IRT through May 18th. You can get tickets and more information at irtlive.com.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vuseli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. when I'll chat with artist Lydia Burris.
I'll get a preview of the Indianapolis School of Ballet's Carnival of the Animals.
And I'll talk with poet Liza Hayes about her new book. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.